So God began his creation with a voice. Let there be light. Order was brought to chaos. Adam's voice was given. God said to speak identity, names with his voice, named the animals. He named Eve. He would name his sons. The voice gave identity. The first action of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was to unify the voices. There were many different voices, and suddenly there was this tongue which enabled the disciples to speak other languages. And suddenly people heard their own language. Unity of voice came. And this same Spirit then gave voice to Peter, who denied Jesus, to boldly proclaim the gospel truth. What was once timid now had a bold voice to him, and many were saved. It was the Spirit now that would give power to Peter and John to speak over a lame man and cause about a transformation of life, which caused all this ruckus. Suddenly these reality, they thought they had killed Jesus. They thought they had got rid of this Messiah, and now his disciples are doing the same thing, empowered by the same voice moving through, that now dead is coming to life. Transformation of old is coming to new. And now in this passage that we have just read, Peter would stand in front of authorities and words would break the religious system of the day. We can say that the voice creates, it names, it unifies, it reveals, it transforms, it breaks. This is the establishment of what God does, and now empowered by the Holy Spirit, the very first actions of Acts, empowered by the Holy Spirit, these people have a voice that creates, it names, it unifies, it reveals, it transforms, and it breaks the injustices of this world. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have that same Spirit inside of us today. And the invitation has been, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. They talked about the kingdom. And the end of Acts, Paul's kind of final words is, and he carried on proclaiming the kingdom. So there's this invitation from the book of Acts to carry on the kingdom work, confessing Jesus is Lord, confessing healings, encouragement into people's lives. Jesus calls you and me to live lives that would be a witness of the kingdom of God. And so I want to remind you today that your voice changes atmospheres. Your voice changes atmospheres. How would you live differently if you really believed what the book of Acts shows us when a voice empowered by the Holy Spirit can do? Have a think. What would you do with your voice and your words? How would you act differently? What would you take authority over in your life? We, at Point View Church, we want to point you to a new view. That's the kind of heartbeat behind Point View. Not only are we conveniently, we believe, God-ordained, positioned on Point View Drive, but that is the DNA of our church, that we want to show you the kingdom view, not of escape one day to be in heaven on a fluffy cloud. There's nowhere in Scripture that says, by the way. But the compelling story of the Scripture is that it takes what is broken and it renews it and it sends it on mission for renewal. And so our vision at Point View is to point you in a new view, and it's a beautiful view, but you've got to walk it. You've got to walk it out. And so this message is a little nudge to say, hey, start the walk if you've never started the walk in this direction. Or if you've come off track, get back on track today, because God has a compelling mission for you. Does that sound good this morning? And so for us, we want to have this part, because the reality is we hear all these wonderful things like, yeah, Johnny, love it, want it, but how? How do we do this? Because if we're honest in this room, we all struggle with a voice of courage. We all struggle with a voice of courage of, me. And as soon as like someone, if I went to anyone in this congregation and said, hey, can I have an answer from you? You'd have sweats. Even now, some of you, your heart rate is like, is he actually going to ask someone? And suddenly just heart starts racing. We start sweating when we're in small group situations. In fact, for some of you, when we just do the meet and greet, it's like, how quickly can I get to the bathroom? How quickly can we have that resource lounge open so the introverts can just go running back into that place? Because the voice of courage for some of us is extremely challenging. And so I think if we want to ask, why do we struggle with it? We need to ask, what is the voice? What is the voice of courage that we actually carry? And so my voice, as I am projecting to you, is made up of a couple of different attributes. And it is quite stunning what actually is more happening to us than you even realize. It's 55% body language. It's 38% words. By the way, scientists have done this. This is not my figures going on here, by the way. Just random numbers. 55%, 38, 7, there we go. No, this is what scientists, so people more equipped to give this affirmation. 55% of body language is voice communication. Especially for Johnny, I'm probably using maybe 60, 70. 38% words, so the words that you actually use or choose to use. And only 7% is actually vocal sounds. Communication is a holistic expression of a human person. And what I want you to take from that wonderful stat today is just this one thing today, that your voice is far more non-verbal than we realize. Maybe that's why I want you to hear today. Maybe you didn't realize as you communicate out to a group, it's less about your vocal sound or even the words that you use. It is actually more about the body language and more about who you are as a person. Because I think I find this a lot when people communicate in front of a group of people, when they've been given a presentation to offer. So let's go back to school today, right? Maybe some of you are in college right now, and this is a reality. You're going to have to give a talk in front of people. Can you bring that? Let's go back to the cold sweats right now. So remind yourself that school project that you had to give, and you communicated it to the best of your ability. But for majority of us, as we step away, we say, but I said it, but I didn't say it. Ever felt that? Like, I've said it, but it wasn't quite what I wanted to say. It was like there was a limitation on my communication, and I said the words, I made sounds, but I wasn't able to communicate really what was inside of my heart. I think a lot of us have that. I wanted to say it, but I couldn't say what I wanted to say. Now, I'm not here to give you a communication lesson on how to be a better presenter, but I want us to hold to the fact that your voice of courage is less about the words and the sound, but is more about whose you are, that's right, whose you are, and who you know to be. It's more about whose we are, the son or daughter of God, and it's more about how we see ourselves as people and voices of courage. Because words just become noise if there's no weight behind it. Words just become noise. And right now, my words could be coming across as noise right now. It's just in one ear, out the other ear. And so my prayer, that's why I pray the Holy Spirit, God, would you empower my words today? Because these words, I don't just want to be noise. Like, I prepare my heart. I prepare to say, Holy Spirit, I've got some things that I feel like you want to say, but I need you to breathe in and through me. And that's why I believe, like the Martin Luther King Jr., I have a dream could have just been noise, a really good idea, but heaven's authority was behind it and it compelled a shift in this nation. Winston Churchill, my boy from back home, Winston Churchill that gave the famous speech in World War II, we will never surrender. You know, that compelling narrative could have just been noise, could have just been a really good idea because I didn't want to speak German. I'm not very good at speaking multiple languages. I have my German friends, don't worry, they were here last week. I would have said the same thing in front of them. But you know, I love that I speak from England, good old British England. And but this reality of, like, never surrender, or Susan B. Anthony's Women's Rights of 1873 compelled the women's vote. Abraham Lincoln, your boy, at Gettysburg, speaking about the equality in the Civil War, one of the greatest speeches of our times. For you and me, it's the encouragement or the advice we give to a friend. You know those moments where you share with a friend and it just hits differently? Suddenly you speak something to someone's life and it actually stops them in their tracks and they go, huh, never thought of that before. Or, thank you so much for those words. That really means a lot. And I believe that we want to become more than just good words, but actually we want our words, our voices, to be of encouragement. So again, just to hold on to the fact, your voice is more than just words or sounds. It's actually about who you are. That there is an authority that you carry because of Jesus Christ. So I just want to tell a story to reaffirm this fact. It's a true story. And so there was this little singer, little girl singer. She was probably about 8 or 9. She had a phenomenal voice, as most little kids seem to do on those talent shows, like 12 years old, like absolute blistering vocals. And you're like, you're 12 years old and you sound amazing. So this young girl went, but she had a problem with her voice. Sounded really cool, had all the perfect, like, flips, Mariah Carey, you know, kind of diva stuff going on. That was my attempt. I wish I had my daughter up here. She always does that around the house, kind of like do the vocal stuff anyway. Or my wife, she would do better. But regardless of, she came, but there was a limitation upon her voice. It was just so small. It was so small. And so the vocal coach was like, yep, let's bring this project in. And she would go through, we're just going to do some muscle techniques. We're going to strengthen that core. We're going to get you breathing right. But months passed by and there was no change. So the vocal coach took a step back and kind of just began to ponder and wonder, what is going on? And so she let the girl just begin to sing. I'm just going to watch you sing. So she spent a session just watching how she sang, how she approached the notes, how she was carrying herself. And she noticed that as she was singing, there was restraint on certain notes. Like she was, it's almost like there was a cap on her voice. The voice could do it, but suddenly she would hesitate towards actually letting rip and actually letting her vocals out. She had the capability, but it sounded like her voice was being muted. So the coach sat with this and felt something in her life was holding her voice back. And she said this, I need to free her voice. And so rather than kind of teaching right or wrong techniques, she said this, young girl, you are an artist. I want you to find your voice today. I want you to explore what artists you like. Who do you want to be? Have independence. I give you permission for the independence and the courage to be who you're called to be. And no word of a lie, in a couple of weeks, this voice roared out of her. An amazing sound come forth. Night and day difference. Suddenly this voice began to come. And over the year of constantly meeting up, it just grew and it just grew, this full, rich tone. But what was more amazing, what was about to happen, because over the year, this coach came across a deeper story, more painful. This young girl had suddenly found her vocal sound actually spoke out in another way. And spoke against the molestation that happened to her from her own father. A voice that was so limited by the abuse that was happening in her world suddenly arose. She had this authority that would change her voice, that would change her situation. It wasn't just about singing, that suddenly this vocal coach had given her voice of courage back and she was able to speak with authority the injustice that was happening to her and transform her whole situation. She was given space. She was given authority. Your voice is attached to your knowing of authority. I want you to take hold of that today. Your voice is attached to the knowing of your authority. And so it isn't just great words, but there has to be a conviction. And you may think in your room, the room today, your biggest struggle to not being able to speak out is because you don't think you know enough, or you don't know what to say, or any of those kind of things. But actually, it's far deeper. You don't believe the authority which God has placed upon you. Actually, it's the character that God wants to unearth. So if we go back to the story today, in Acts chapter 4, this interrogation question from the authorities. Now remember, context. Peter and John have got themselves in trouble for doing a good thing. They have confessed with their mouths, in the name of Jesus, lame man, rise up and walk. Like, this has caused trouble. Can you imagine that? Guys, I'm here before you today because I healed a man. And you're just like, so where's the negative? Where's the bad stuff in happening? Like, we look on this. But this to the authorities, to the religious orders of the day, felt this was a real big problem. And I just imagine this scene. You're standing in front of people and they're wanting to understand. They ask this question, by what power or what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them and gave just a phenomenal gospel message in that moment. And this is their perception of them. Now, I want you to take hold of this. Now, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. Uneducated, really nice biblical translation. Stupid is actually the Greek, but that's a real nice biblical Christian term. Uneducated. Common men, and they were astonished. Like, can you imagine that moment? It's like those vocal things where you see this kind of little girl and they just tear it up vocally. You are astonished at what words are coming out in front of you because it does not match the narrative of what you see. You're hearing a different voice. Hearing a different voice. And they recognize that they've been with this Jesus. They recognize they've been with this Jesus. By what power, what name do you do this? Disciples of this Jesus, we didn't give you permission. That was what they were saying. Who gave you this authority? Because we're the ones that give authority to those who should have a voice. And you're breaking this right now. That doesn't make sense to us. You are uneducated. Who are you? And I wrestle with this question. I ask myself this question because I feel like I'm on interrogation whenever I feel like my voice is limited. Who am I? Who am I? Isn't that the wrestling of us all? That when we answered, again, going back to your childhood, class, you see that kid who just always raises their hand, who always has the right answer. Now, maybe it was just a couple of times, but then you began to say, well, they're just smarter than I am, and I'm just dumb. Maybe that confession of characteristic began to take hold of who you are. It was a character. It wasn't just that you lacked an understanding. It became who you were, and it was a lie you believe. Who am I? Well, I'm just not as smart as other people. And that narrative begins to take hold. Maybe in your friendship group, there's the one that always has the confident answer, who's always the joker, who's always the big personality, and all you've done is speak death over yourself and say, well, that's just not me. I just can't add anything to this group, and I'm just going to shrink back. Peter and John clearly had authority, but still looked uneducated. The Spirit didn't suddenly give them the ability to transform their outer appearance. Like, they suddenly weren't these guys that looked well-educated, who had all the stuff together on the outside. No, they were still broken people on the outside. Isn't that reassuring today? I don't know about you, but I'm like, I don't have to have it together on the outside because God is going to bring me into spaces and flip the narrative, and His Spirit is going to give me courage where I didn't think I should have a voice. That's good news today. That's what Jesus does. If you hear nothing else today, Jesus wants to embolden your voice. No matter what you look like, no matter what your past is, God wants to flip the narrative, even though you might look at first glance, but God has a different story He wants to tell through your voice today. And there's a choice that we must wrestle with. I love Peter's response. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel. This is why we look uneducated, but we have power. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Which, I love that title, Nazareth. Nazareth is, I don't mean to diss people today, but the only comparison I can bring in, like from Claysville over here, right? Like, you know, that town over there. I know, I'll take some heat. It's the only thing I can think of. Maybe whatever town you want to put, right? No rivalry, no hate. Just saying. But I'm saying, it's like, there's a difference, right? Okay, what about Pittsburgh and Washington? Like that kind of thing, right? There's that, a little better, there we go. It's like, there's a reality of like, you've added your town, which is something that is considered by most less than. Just saying. I've lived here 11 years, is what I've picked up. I'm just picking up on the fabric of culture. So you taught me. And so he adds that lack, I love that. But whom you crucified, whom you God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone you rejected, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's in the name of Jesus. The voice of authority is in the name of Jesus. This name is the foundation by which we confess Jesus is Lord. It's the salvation that no one else has. There's no other name. And I love this posture that Peter's saying. There is nothing about me, but it is all in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus that has become my cornerstone, that has become the resurrection of my life, that my life was once this, but now he has completely transformed it. I put all my courage in who Jesus says I am. And this narrative goes through all the book of Acts that causes the conviction for people to die by the name of Jesus, cause them to live completely different to any other way because they understood this name of Jesus, this authority. Your voice does not mean you have to be the smartest in the room. Example, not a degree or apologetics. What it requires is that you know the authority of the one who calls you. You've got to know. This is the message, right? This is the compel. This is where we're just going to wrap our time up for the next like 10 minutes or so. We want to establish, how did they get this name? How did they understand this name of authority that compelled them to live in such a way which looked countercultural, which caused people who doubted to become bold, that caused people to die by the name of Jesus? What was this? And so we need to go back to the night before the crucifixion. Because Jesus taught this not too many days about authority in the name, and it's found in John chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles or turn on your phones, go with me to John chapter 14. This is where we're going to be just for the remainder of our time together. John chapter 14, I'm going to be reading from verses 12. Down to 17 here, and it says this. This is Jesus, right? He's told them this shocking news. I'm about to go away and you can't come with me. This person that's loved them for the last 3 years, and he's like, but I need to go away because there's a better gift coming. I need you to understand this. So he says, truly, truly, like all caps, listen up. I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do and greater works. What a compelling vision from the offset. Do you believe that today? Have you even heard these words of Jesus? This is Jesus speaking to us as well, who are spirit-empowered people. He opens up with this bombshell with people who are fearing for their lives because they don't know their leader, who's transformed this whole Galilean area, is now going away. And he's saying, it's good that I go away because you're going to do greater works than me. How do you feel about that? The guy who just raised Lazarus from the dead, maybe just a couple of days ago. I'm not feeling so secure. I'm just being honest. I'll be like, that feels like, still does, a massively tall order. Greater works than these, he will do. You will do, because I'm going to the Father. Now, greater, we don't know. There's lots of theological kind of arguments over greater. Does it mean more in quantity or is it more in quality? No one knows. But I've heard of stories. I haven't personally seen someone raised from the dead yet. I've seen a leg grow. I've had my own back curvature healed. So I've seen the healing power, witnessed that healing power of God in my life. But to see greater works, man, what would it look like to have that vision of endeavor, right? Then these he will do because I'm going to the Father. Who, whatever you ask in my name. Now, this is important because this is not some magic genie answer. You know, when you do your prayer of laundry list of things that you want, I need this, I want this, I want this. God, would you give me that car, that house in Jesus' name? It's not suddenly like the magic code to unlock, but in Jesus' name is a shorthand for anything asked in the nature of Jesus or the purpose of Jesus. Does that make sense this morning? Yeah, so in the name of Jesus, say, if you are aligned in my nature, if you are in my nature of Christ-likeness, and you are aligned with my purpose and design, anything you ask in those veins, I will most certainly do. I'll do this. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper. There are two things that Jesus is going to say, for you to do the greater works, for you to receive this gift, for you to have the understanding of the name and the nature and the purpose that unlocks heaven on earth. Because let me just pause for a moment. God's great plan for our lives is Christ-likeness and to see the renewal of this earth. That is the vision, not to escape out of this earth. Please, if you're going to be part of our community, you're going to understand this over and over again. We are going to preach this. We are not escaping. We are transforming. Jesus is going to come again one day. Let it be known. Jesus is coming back, amen? But he's coming back for a victorious bride. He's coming back for a bride, and we are filled with hope. We get to shine light that no matter what the media says about war, the realities of war or of troubles, Jesus' plan for your life is to be Christ-likeness, to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the compelling narrative that we live by. And so Jesus is saying there are two kind of, precede this. And it's if you love me and you keep my commandments. First is the first one. If you love me, you keep my commandments. For John, this is not like to get the Holy Spirit, you have to do these things. It's more the reality of, not just like words of moral law, it's actually follow the example of me. So if you love me, now all the people who in relationships, when you love someone, what happens? Suddenly you change a lot. Like your friends tell you, you're not who you used to be. You know, they remember those things. It's because you love them. You change your whole actions, the way and example that you live, to be with them. At least that's the hope. A little marriage course right here. Guys, if that's not happening, and I'm a work in progress as well, it's a compelling action. If we love someone, we become and we change and we shift. And Jesus is saying the same words. If you love me, if you have agape love, you will change the way that you live, which will create more relationship for the Holy Spirit. It starts with devotion. If we want to see shift and change, if we want to see a voice of courage, it means, Jesus, I want to develop a devotion that says, you are all I have, you are all I want, and I want to know more of you today. Carries on. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper. That word another in the Greek is actually exactly the same, a carbon exact copy of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is exactly the same as Jesus. Another helper, or I prefer the advocate is better, the parakletos. That's a compound word of two words, para meaning to come along, and come alongside, and kletos is call. So it's to call alongside. It's why we have paramedic, someone who comes alongside to give medication healing, or paralegal, someone who is able to come and give legal advice. That's the better word of what Jesus is saying here, a paralegal. The Holy Spirit is an advocate in a courtroom setting because the devil is a liar, And we have a Holy Spirit that is fighting for our injustice. He is the prosecutor, and he is a really good one. He is condemning the works of the enemy, the devil. And that's what he's doing for us, that we have a paracletos. We have an advocate, so one that we are to love God with all of our heart, and that we understand that there is a power that is greater that conquers the grave, that rises Jesus from the dead. So those are the two things that Jesus wants to know. And he'll be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he'll be with you. Three quick points to just pull from this passage today. A vision for greater. Again, God's kingdom vision is that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to transform the worlds that you live in. And so my invitation to you today is, are you dreaming with courage? I think some of the things that my life and through the different wrestlings that we've had with our children, miscarriages, it really sucks the wind out of your courage when things do not go the way that you want them to go. Amen? Like it feels like you're just getting beat up over and over and over again. You're just like, is there any hope? And what I've found over these years is that sometimes you won't always be given the courage to do that, but to dream anyway. And I'm amazed at what God has been doing in renewing, in transforming our lives, in and through it. But it wasn't suddenly I had to wait for all things to get all daisy and good. I actually had to take faith to say, regardless of my situation, Jesus has said, greater works will I do in his name. And so that promise does not void my situation, amen? Does not change my situation. God's promise is always true regardless of what I face. And so will I have a vision for greater? I think about the girl that had a limited voice. The coach just said, I want you to dream again. I want you to have a vision for greater. Who do you want to be as a singer? And suddenly that released an authority inside of her that said, like Beyonce style singing comes flying out of her voice, but it was always in there. It was a reality of given a greater vision. And so my compelling point for you today out of this passage, what is your vision for greater? Do you even have a voice of courage to dream for something bigger? Second point, a devotion to practice. Love, if you love me, you'll follow my commands. You'll follow my example. You'll follow my practices. The heart can believe, the mouth can confess, but the nervous system won't feel it yet. There's a reality that I am teaching you some things. Your mind is going to take hold of it. Your heart may even beat and be like, yes, Johnny, I want that. But your body will take some time to catch up. And this is the reality that we live in, that practice, ongoing spiritual formation, yes, reading your Bible and praying, silence and solitude, fasting, all these things are to help create space for a voice of courage. Because you can have all the dreams you want, but if you're not practicing, let's be honest, the dreams are going to fall pretty hard, like every New Year resolution. The plan, the vision starts, but the execution is just not there. And this is the reality. I write down scripture. I meditate on scripture. I confess scripture until I believe it. And I've been given full-time opportunity to do this. And just to give you some courage today, it's slow. Right? Even for someone like every day who's in the Word, studying and believing, this takes a long time. So take courage that this is not a one and done, that today's message is not the silver bullet for you, but it's an invitation. As I said, there's a new view that you can see. Will you walk with us together, following Jesus together, right? I need encouragement from other people. The vision of greater, devotion to practice, and finally, knowing the advocate. I want you to know that the advocate is fighting for you. I just want to invite the worship team up as we land in this point today. So knowing someone that fights for you, Jesus, who is like the advocate, fought for the leper. He fought for the tax collector, the prostitute. He stood up to the Pharisees, the ones who would bully and prevent God in these people's lives. He stood up to them. He delivered people from demons. He healed the sick, and he spoke the truth. And the reality is, there is another advocate. As we who are followers of Jesus have been given the gift, sealed by the Holy Spirit inside of us, that each one of us today has the Holy Spirit. You have power behind you. Is that good news today? You might be feeling a little sleepy today, and you're just like, yeah, I get it. No, there's a power behind you today. And all three of these need to work. You can have all the vision in the world, you can do all the right things, but if you do not have the Holy Spirit as your source, your comfort, it's all just good works. And I think that's what the church has tried to do. We want to change the world for Jesus. Read your Bible and pray. But we left the most important source. We left the batteries out of the product. We tried to turn the remote control car on. Go do the works. And we forgot the Holy Spirit. He is the one who infuses us to do the things that we need to do. I love Walter. I was chatting with yesterday about his new job promotion. I said, how are you liking it? You've stepped up into a different area. And he goes, it's great. If I quote you right, people now listen to me, right? Sometimes. Like now, I've always come with the ideas, and now people listen to me, sometimes. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we understand there is an advocate fighting for us, when we understand that we need him, he is the one who gives us the authority. He is the one that can stand in front of those that you thought you could never do and confess. Like me today, standing here today, again, as a teenager, I am with you. Even though I'm extroverted, did not want to do anything in front of people. Actually, it's through Pastor Craig kind of conversing me, saying, you need to go preach. When I was like 28, I was like, I lead worship, love leading worship, but preaching I just don't like. And it's taken a long time for me to come to this stage. It's been a decade of communicating, and I'm finally at this point. All right, and so I've still got long ways to grow. But it's a reality, and we all do, and it's beautiful. But will you step out today and say, where's my voice of courage? I just said yes, probably too many times. I've already just kept saying yes. Regardless of how scary it is, when communicating with friends, I didn't always have it right, the gospel, right? The pressure of what did you do this weekend? You feel cold sweats. You're like, I went with my family, did some things, neglecting that you went to church. And maybe for you, it's just where you're at. And that's okay. But God wants to do far more in and through you today. So can we stand? We're going to be singing a song here in a moment. And I just want to lead us in prayer, and BJ's just going to give some reflections as well in a moment. But can we just lower the lights and let's just close our eyes and just put our hands out in front of us. Maybe these three points have shown up for you today. Maybe you want prayer for something greater, of a greater vision. Maybe your voice of courage has been so limited that you just don't even have a vision for God to speak through you. I believe that we're going to create space for you to come forward today to receive prayer. You can totally receive God where you're sitting, but maybe for some of you today, you want to actually make a declaration. I want to step out in courage today, and I want to receive prayer today. No one's going to ask you what you want. They're just going to pray a blessing over you. They want to affirm what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you today. So maybe the second one, maybe it's just been practice. Like you're just not putting into practice, creating a heart of devotion that says, Jesus, I want all of you. I want more of you. It's just that reality. Or maybe the reality is this journey is all super brand new and you have a ton of questions. Johnny, you just flipped the whole narrative on its head. I just thought I needed to follow Jesus and get to the good place. You're saying that there's a Holy Spirit that has power, that wants to transform my life, that he wants to do something far more than I could ever dream or imagine in my life? Yes. And I want to invite you to receive prayer today, to receive and awaken the Holy Spirit that is already inside of you. So those are the three things today. And just Holy Spirit, we just say, Holy Spirit, would you come?